think we're ready. So, Lord, we love you. We rejoice in this opportunity, in every opportunity, to spend time with you and your word, and with each other, in fellowship, praising you and honoring you as each day unfolds. Lord, as we spend this time in your word, this treasury, this gift of yours to us, your church, your family, just be blessed. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, please stand as we declare the Shema and read the word of the Lord together. And this is in honor and recognition that we are before Jehovah and in his holy and awesome presence. The Shema. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Ve'ahavted Adonai Eloheicha, Ve'akol Laveka, Uvekol Nashevka, Uvekol Modeka, Ve'ahavta Racha Kamoka, Amen. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And love your neighbor as yourself. Amen. Our reading in the Lord's Word together this morning is the 8th chapter of 1 Kings. So 1 Kings chapter 8. And it is a long one. I'll let you know that. So if you need to, you can be seated in the course of it. 1 Kings chapter 8. Then Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes, the leaders of the fathers' households of the sons of Israel, to King Solomon at Jerusalem, to bring up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord from the city of David, which is Zion. And all the men of Israel assembled themselves to King Solomon at the feast in the month Ethem, which is the seventh month. Then all the leaders of Israel came, and the priests took up the ark, and they brought up the ark of the Lord, and the tent of meeting, and all the holy utensils which were in the tent, and the priests and the Levites brought them up. And King Solomon and all of the congregation of Israel who were assembled to him were with him before the ark, sacrificing so many sheep and oxen they could not be counted or numbered. Then the priest brought the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord to its place, into the inner sanctuary of the house, to the most holy place, under the wings of the cherubim. For the cherubim spread their wings over the place of the Ark, and the cherubim made a covering over the Ark and its poles from above. But the poles were so long that the ends of the poles could be seen from the holy place before the inner sanctuary, but they could not be seen outside. They are there to this day. There was nothing in the ark except the two tablets of stone which Moses put there at Horeb, where the Lord made a covenant with the sons of Israel when they came out of the land of Egypt. And it came about when the priest came from the holy place that the cloud filled the house of the Lord so that the priest could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. Then Solomon said, "The Lord has said that he would dwell in the thick cloud. I have surely built thee a lofty house, a place for thy dwelling forever." Then the king faced about and blessed all the assembly of Israel while all the assembly of Israel was standing. And he said, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who spoke with his mouth to my father David and has fulfilled it with his hand, saying, 'Since the day that I brought my people Israel from Egypt, I did not choose a city out of all the tribes of Israel in which to build a house that my name might be there. But I chose David over my people Israel.' Now it was in the heart of my father David to build a house for the name of the Lord, the God of Israel. But the Lord said to my father David, 'Because it was in your heart to build a house for my name, you did well that it was in your heart. Nevertheless, you shall not build the house, but your son who shall be born to you, He shall build the house for my name. Now the Lord has fulfilled his word which he spoke. For I have risen in place of my father David and sit on the throne of Israel as the Lord promised and have built the house for the name of the Lord, the God of Israel. And there I have set a place for the ark in which is the covenant of the Lord, which he made with our fathers when he brought them from the land of Egypt. Then Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the assembly of Israel and spread out his hands toward heaven. And he said, O Lord, the God of Israel, there is no God like thee in heaven above or on earth beneath, who art keeping covenant and showing loving kindness servants who walk before thee with all their heart, who has kept with thy servant my father David that which thou hast promised him. Indeed, thou hast spoken with thy mouth and hast fulfilled it with thy hand as it is this day. Now therefore, O Lord, the God of Israel, keep with thy servant David my father that which thou hast promised him, saying, You shall not lack a man to sit on the throne of Israel, if only your sons take heed to their way to walk before me as you have walked. Now therefore, O God of Israel, let thy word, I pray thee, be confirmed, which thou hast spoken to thy servant, my father David. But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, heaven and the highest heaven cannot contain thee. How much less this house which I have built? Yet have regard to the prayer of thy servant and to his supplication, O Lord my God, to listen to the cry and to the prayer which thy servant prays before thee today, that thine eyes may be opened toward this house, night and day, toward the place of which thou hast said, My name shall be there, to listen to the prayer which thy servant shall pray toward this place, and listen to the supplication of thy servant and of thy people Israel when they pray toward this place. Hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place. Hear and forgive. If a man sins against his neighbor and is made to take an oath, and he comes and takes an oath before thine altar in this house, then hear thou in heaven and act and judge thy servants, condemning the wicked by bringing his way on his own head and justifying the righteous by giving him according to his righteousness. When thy people Israel are defeated before an enemy because they have sinned against thee, if they turn to thee again and confess thy name and pray and make supplication to thee in this house, then hear thou in heaven and forgive the sin of thy people Israel and bring them back to the land which thou didst give to their fathers. When the heavens are shut up and there is no rain because they have sinned against thee and they pray toward this place and confess thy name and turn from their sin, just afflict them, then hear thou in heaven and forgive the sin of thy servants and of thy people Israel. Indeed, teach them the good way in which they should walk, and send rain on thy land which thou hast given thy people for an inheritance. If there is famine in the land, if there is pestilence, if there is blight or mildew, locust or grasshopper, if their enemy besieges them in the land of their cities, whatever plague, whatever sickness is, whatever prayer or supplication is made by any man or by all thy people Israel, each knowing the affliction of his own heart and spreading his hands toward this house, then hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place and forgive and act and render to each according to all his ways, whose heart thou knowest. For thou alone dost know the hearts of all the sons of men, that they may fear thee all the days that they live in the land which thou hast given to our fathers. Also concerning the foreigner who is not of thy people Israel, when he comes from a far country, for thy name's sake, for they will hear of thy great name and thy mighty hand and of thine outstretched arm. When he comes and prays toward this house, hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and do according to all for which the foreigner calls to thee, in order that all the peoples of the earth may know thy name, to fear thee as do thy people Israel, and that they may know that this which I have built is called by thy name. When thy people go out to battle against their enemy, by whatever way thou shalt send them, and they pray to the Lord toward the city which thou hast chosen and the house which I have built for thy name, then hear in heaven their prayer and their supplication, and maintain their cause when they sin against thee. For there is no man who does not sin, and thou art angry with them, and dost deliver them to an enemy, so that they take them away captive to the land of the enemy, far off or near, if they take thought in the land where they have been taken captive, and repent, and make supplication to thee in the land of those who have taken them captive, saying, we have sinned and have committed iniquity, we have acted wickedly. If they return to thee with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their enemies who have taken them captive, and pray to thee toward their land which thou hast given to their fathers, the city which thou hast chosen and the house which I have built for thy name, then hear their prayer and their supplication in heaven thine place, and maintain their cause, and forgive thy people who have sinned against thee, and all their transgressions which they have transgressed against thee, and make them objects of compassion before those who have taken them captive, that they may have compassion on them. For they are thy people and thine inheritance, which thou hast brought forth from Egypt, from the midst of the iron furnace, that thine eyes may be open to the supplication of thy servant and to the supplication of thy people Israel, to listen to them whenever they call to thee. For thou hast separated them from all the peoples of the earth as thine inheritance, as thou didst speak through Moses thy servant, when thou didst bring our fathers forth from Egypt, O Lord God. And it came about that when Solomon had finished praying this entire prayer and supplication to the Lord, he arose from before the altar of the Lord, from kneeling on his knees with his hands spread toward heaven, and he stood and blessed all the assembly of Israel with a loud saying, blessed be the Lord who has given rest to his people Israel according to all that he promised. Not one word has failed of all his good promise, which he promised through Moses his servant. May the Lord our God be with us as he was with our fathers. May he not leave us or forsake us, that he may incline our hearts to himself, to walk in all his ways and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his ordinances which he commanded our fathers. And may these words of mine with which I have made supplication before the Lord be near to the Lord our God day and night, that he may maintain the cause of his servant and the cause of his people Israel as each day requires, so that all the peoples of the earth may know that the Lord is God, there is no one else. Let your heart therefore be wholly devoted to the Lord our God, to walk in his statutes and to keep his commandments as at this day. Now the king and all is with him offered sacrifice before the Lord. And Solomon offered for the sacrifice of peace offerings which he offered to the Lord 22,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep. So the king and all the sons of Israel dedicated the house of the Lord. On the same day the king consecrated the middle of the court that was before the house of the Lord, because there he offered the burnt offering and the grain offering and the fat of the peace offerings. For the bronze altar that was before the Lord was too small to hold the burnt offering and the grain offering and the fat of the peace offerings. So Solomon observed the feast at that time, and all Israel with him, a great assembly from the entrance of Hamath to the brook of Egypt before the Lord our God for 7 days and seven more days, even 14 days. On the 8th day he sent the people away, and they blessed the king. Then they went to their tents joyful and glad of heart for all the goodness that the Lord had shown to David his servant and to Israel his people. Thank you, Lord, for your word and your spirit, making it very much the course of our walk on this earth together. Amen. Please be seated.
You got any energy left?
Yes, I do. Thank you. Yes, it was. And we could spend years on it. Okay. 1 Kings 8, 41 and 43. And excuse me one second.
Brothers, thank you, Lord. Amen.
Okay, I'm back. Sorry about that. Okay, 1 Kings 8, 41 through 43. Also, concerning the foreigner who is not of thy people Israel, when he comes from a far country for thy name's sake, for they will hear of thy great name and thy mighty hand of thine outstretched arm, when he comes and prays toward this house, hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and do according to all for which the foreigner calls to thee, in order that all the peoples of the earth may know thy name, to fear thee as do thy people Israel, and that they may know that this house which I have built is called by thy name. This morning, amongst so many other things in our readings, we see the call of God that is set upon all those who belong to Him. This chapter is filled with all the praise and the adoration and the manifested worship and all those sacrifices that man is capable of offering to the Lord God Almighty. These aspects of worship and adoration are the frame to that which is at the heart of the essential being of those who do belong to Jehovah. Solomon encapsulates that which we have considered in our recent study of discipleship. It is the fact that all are to see the love of God through the witness and the heart of compassion that would evidence who God is and what He has done in the redemption of humanity unto Himself. That is our call, and that is our mission as the members of the Beit Av of God. He has given all the treasury of heaven in Jesus Christ for the sake of the redemption of His created humankind. In the very midst of the tremendous prayer of Solomon at the dedication of the temple of the Lord, there is that statement, this morning's passage, which brings forth the full measure of what is at stake in the lives of those who do belong to Yahweh. It is for the witness of the testimony of Jehovah in the entire world that this temple was so important to the nation of Israel and to the Lord. With the representation of the dwelling place of God in the midst of His people, they would as well become His witness in all His creation. The nations would see the magnificence and the majesty and the honor and the love of God through His chosen people, and would be drawn to worship and to adore Him as well. This is recounted the second time for us in the prayer of Solomon, in 2 Chronicles 6, 32 and 33. This was such an important truth that the Holy Spirit made it manifestly evident twice in His Word. 2 Chronicles 6, 32 and 33. Also, concerning the foreigner who is not from thy people Israel, when he comes from a far country for thy great name's sake and thy mighty hand and thine outstretched arm, when they come and pray toward this house, then hear thou from heaven, from thy dwelling place, and do according to all for which the foreigner calls to thee, in order that all the peoples of the earth may know thy name and fear thee, as do thy people Israel, and that they may know that this house which I have built is called by thy name. In order that all the peoples of the earth may know thy name and fear thee, as do thy people Israel. One of the most beloved books of the Bible details this result as we have so previously considered. Please turn back in your Bibles to the book of Ruth. This young Moabitess was brought into the family of Elimelech and Naomi through the marriage to one of their sons. She had left her own family in order to become part of this Beit Av of the people of God from Israel. Accordingly, after the death of her husband, the death of her father-in-law, and the death of her brother-in-law, she was left with only two options. She could either try to re-enter the community that she had forsaken by joining herself to this family of Hebrews, or she could go with her mother-in-law back to Bethlehem. This would be an absolute turning her back on the community of her birth and clinging to the woman who represented the God of Israel, the Lord God Almighty, Jehovah. We will read that great passage, Ruth 1, 16 and 17. This declaration has stood the test of time in terms of commitment and dedication to the one who represented the witness of Yahweh in that Moabitess heart. Ruth 1, 16 and 17. But Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you or turn back from following you. For where you go, I will go. And where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I be buried. Thus may the Lord do to me, and worse, if anything but death parts you and me." There had apparently been a witness of God through this family that touched the heart of Ruth to such an extent that she was willing to leave her natural family, her community, her country, and she would become that foreigner in a foreign land to be with this beloved mother-in-law. There was that acknowledgement that the God of Naomi was the God that Ruth desired to serve and honor above all else. We see the result of this heart of Jehovah being met by God in verses 11 and 12 of the second chapter with the wisdom and the insight of Boaz. He would become Ruth's redeemer. This is a tremendous picture of what the nation as a whole was to present to the entire world. There was to be that heart that would seek out and bring in the widow, the orphan, the stranger, the lost, the hurting, the starving, the hopeless, and the marginalized within and without the social structure of the nation of God. Ruth 2:11-12. And Boaz answered and said to her, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law after the death of your husband has been fully reported to me, and how you left your father and your mother in the land of your birth and came to a people that you did not previously know. May the Lord reward your work and your wages be full from the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to seek refuge." Coming back to 1 Kings, in a few chapters, we will be reading about the Queen of Sheba as she came to see exactly how wise Solomon was in regard to his position as the King of Israel. There was word that was spreading as to how there was a nation that was blessed above all others with a prosperity that did not spring from natural resources or trade or conquest. This was a nation in whom the people were prospering through means that were beyond the skill and the aptitude of mere human endeavor. There was something more than what was customary and usual in the growth of this kingdom called Israel. The monarchs of those foreign lands desired to know what it was. Please open to 1 Kings 10:1-9, as we will read ahead for a moment to that which will be coming in the near months. This is a detailing of what is to be so prominent before us in our witness and our walk as the people of the Lord God Most. 1 Kings 10:1-9. Now when the Queen of Sheba heard about the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to test him with difficult questions. So she came to Jerusalem with a very large retinue, with camels carrying spices, and very much gold and precious stones. When she came to Solomon, she spoke with him about all that was in her heart. And Solomon answered all her questions. Nothing was hidden from the king which he did not explain to her. When the Queen of Sheba perceived all the wisdom of Solomon, the house that he had built, the food of his table, the seating of his servants, the attendance of his waiters and their attire, his cupbearers and his stairway by which he went up to the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. Then she said to the king, "It was a true report which I heard in my own land about your words and your wisdom. Nevertheless, I did not believe the reports until it came and my eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. You exceed in wisdom and prosperity the report which I heard. How blessed are your men, how blessed are these your servants who stand before you continually and hear your wisdom. Blessed be the Lord your God, who delighted in you to set you on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever. Therefore he made you king, to do justice and righteousness." She saw how the Lord God of Israel was so blessing the nation with the wise ordination of Solomon and the decisions that were flowing forth from God through this monarch on the throne. There was something extraordinary about the entire witness of this nation of Jehovah that made an immense impression upon those who were outside the nation. There proceeded forth from her mouth that blessing upon Jehovah and upon his loving care for this, his people through the bestowment of the wise ruler over them. All of this was to be the testimony of the glory of God as spoken by this queen who had to see for herself what that difference was within this country under the dominion of the Lord God Almighty. This testimony unto the praise and adoration of Yahweh is carried forward in Scripture as expressed in 1 Chronicles 16, 28 through 34. Here, King David had assembled the priests as the Ark of the Lord was being brought into the city of Jerusalem. There was tremendous rejoicing expressed at that point unto the Lord, as was heralded at the dedication of the temple later in Israel's history, as we read this morning. The key, however, is what the chorus was that the Levites and the priests sang unto Jehovah with all their beings. 1 Chronicles 16, 28 through 34. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come before Him. Worship the Lord in holy array. Tremble before Him, all the earth. Indeed, the world is firmly established. It will not be moved. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice, and let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Let the sea roar, all it contains, let the field exult, and all that is in it. Then the trees of the forest will sing for joy before the Lord, for He is coming to judge the earth. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His loving kindness is everlasting. Notice, in this song of praise and adoration, the fact that all the nations among the earth are to join into this chorus of the ascription of glory unto Jehovah. All are to declare that the Lord reigns, which indicates that bowing down to the God of heaven, the Creator and the Redeemer of mankind. All creation will ascribe to Him the greatness and the adoration and the honor, the glory and the utmost fealty and utter obedience to His sovereignty. There was to come forth, as the nations would marvel at the working power of Jehovah in evidence in the nation of His choosing over all the others of the world. This choice was in order that through this spiritually governed people, the rest of the world would see and be brought into the very family of God. This would not be through military conquest or economic superiority or social or governmental decrees. It would be by the fact of seeing that there is only one true Lord God Almighty, as He is displayed more and more perfectly through witness of His people, His Beit Av. This then comes to the conclusion that was voiced by the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 56, 1 through 8. Please open to this passage as we will use it as our conclusion for this morning. In it, the Lord expounds upon the principle of trust and obedience unto Him that will draw in those who are watching so intently as the people of God live their lives in witness of who He is and all that He has done and is doing and continues to do day in and day out. Isaiah 56, 1 through 8. Thus says the Lord, preserve justice and do righteousness, for my salvation is about to come and my righteousness to be revealed. How blessed is the man who does this and the son of man who takes hold of it, who keeps from profaning the Sabbath and keeps his hand from doing any evil. Let not the foreigner who has joined himself to the Lord say, the Lord will surely separate me from his people. Neither let him say, behold, I am a dry tree. For thus says the Lord to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbath and choose what pleases me and hold fast my covenant, to them I will give in my house and within my walls a memorial and a name better than that of sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name which will not be cut off. Also the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord to minister to Him and to love the name of the Lord, to be His servants, everyone who keeps from profaning the Sabbath and holds fast my covenant, even those I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be acceptable on my altar, for my house will be called a house of prayer for all the peoples. The Lord God who gathers the dispersed of Israel declares, yet others I will gather to them, to those already gathered. Thus, the great plan of God for the inclusion of all the nations and of all those people who would turn to Him and seek Him and honor Him is fully stated within the given Word of God. There is nothing exclusionary about this great redemptive plan of the nation of Israel. They were not to make themselves the end-all of what God was bringing forth. They were to be the witness through whom all would see and know about the redemption of God for the sake of His glory and His honor in the totality of His creation. We will look at this in greater measure the next time that we are together in this passage, Lord willing. So be it. Also, concerning the foreigner who is not of thy people Israel, when he comes from a far country, for thy name's sake, for they will hear of thy great name and thy mighty hand and of thine outstretched arm. When he comes and prays toward this house, hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and do according to all for which the foreigner calls to thee, in order that all the peoples of the earth may know thy name, to fear thee as do thy people Israel, and that they may know that this house which I have built is called by thy name. Amen. Amen.
Dan, while you start, could you play Bless God?
Oh, I think I can do that, since we already played it this morning.
You did?
As we were setting up.
No,
that's fine. We were, absolutely.
God everlasting.
Worthy of all our praise. Amen.
Let the glory of the Lord rise upon us. Let the glory.